Hello, and welcome to today's episode of Be Vigilant. I'm your host, Matt Dean. Today we have some awesome guests, Pete and Eric from the Silent Majority Foundation. First, we'd like to let you guys know today's episode is sponsored by us here at Be Vigilant. Pete, Eric, how are you doing today?
Doing great, Matt. Thanks really, for having
us on. Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, I met you guys a month or two ago over in Olympia, the rally, and first of all, I got to say your gear, your swag is awesome. I wear your hat almost every day. That's
nice.
And I get a lot of questions. What is that? And I'm able to give a little bit of what I learned from your website and from you guys. So first, if we could just jump in, Pete, if you want to go first, your background and who you are and what position with the Silent Majority Foundation.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thanks, Matt. So my name's Pete Serrano. I am the general counsel, meaning I am the attorney, also one of the directors of the Silent Majority Foundation. My background is I'm a California kid, and I fled to the wonderful state of Florida for law school about 15 years ago. Experienced plenty of freedoms there. And then I practiced law in D.C. metro area, where I actually kicked off my career suing the federal government, suing the Environmental Protection Agency.
Nice.
On rulemaking. And, you know, Matt, one of my strongest memories of my grandfather, my paternal grandfather, is he's a World War, or was a World War II vet, died a couple years ago at 94. And I told him, I said, hey, Grandpa, you know, I'm suing the government. And he said, you know, isn't it phenomenal that we live in a country where a guy like you can go and take a swing at the government through the legal court system? You know, and that's always stayed on my heart is, you know, we have to be here to stand for these rights.
Yes, sir.
And so I moved from D.C. back to California. And then about 7 years ago, I got a call from a couple of friends from law school who said, hey, listen, you know, we've got this Department of Energy Hanford site. And I'm like, what is this? I did some research, you know, looked at the history, how phenomenal that was. Mm-hmm. And so I came up here to Tri-Cities. I live in Pasco and started working as an attorney for DOE. And then I moved over to Energy Northwest. For those who aren't familiar, the Energy Northwest produces nuclear power and feeds it throughout the region, the Pacific Northwest. And then a couple of years ago, Rob, one of our other directors, and I got involved with, there's a local pizzeria here, Shady's Pizza, who was getting hit by the Liquor Cannabis Board, telling them they had to shut down for not enforcing mask mandates. And then there was another friend of ours that owns a restaurant here in Tri-Cities called Sterling's. And she was asking, well, you know, what do I do when labor and industries come in? What do I do when Liquor Cannabis Board comes in? And so that was about 2 years ago. And I actually then brought a reopened Pasco ordinance. I'm a city council member of Pasco.
Gotcha.
And I tried to get the city to fly in the face of the governor's mandate. And this was early 2020 to 2021 to reopen the city, albeit the existence of the ordinance. And that didn't go very far on city council. And so then I rolled that into recall Jay Inslee on those same types of allegations. Mm-hmm. And that's where I met Eric, and Eric and I just hit it off. We have a love for our country. We have a love for our freedoms. And, you know, we started moving towards building something. And I'm sure Eric would love to give his two cents on the bromance that ensued over fighting for our constitutional rights. But I mean, that's really, in a nutshell, kind of who I am and why I felt like it was worth quitting my job at Energy Northwest to come create the Silent Majority Foundation.
Right on. I got to say, I'm also a California kid, fled up here about 11 years ago. And there's a lot of us migrating up this way.
There are. And we need to band together
to
fight for what we know is right.
Mm-hmm. So, Eric, you're on the line, too. Yeah. You are, give us your position and maybe a little history on how you got involved in this whole crazy operation.
Yeah, I'm the director of business development for Silent Majority Foundation. I was not a California kid, so I guess I'm the odd man out in this conversation.
But you live on the west side, right?
Yeah, I live out in Lake Stevens, which is kind of by Everett, for those that don't really know the area. Mm-hmm. I And Everett is about 30 minutes north of Seattle.
Gotcha.
I've lived in Washington since 1981, so since I was five. I mean, I love this state. I've always loved it. You know, rain be damned.
Yeah.
I've been a small business owner and worked in this area all my life, and I love the opportunities that this state has given me. And you know, my constitutional rights, I'll be perfectly honest, before COVID, I was relatively apolitical.
Gotcha.
I didn't, you know, I voted and I did my civic duty, but I never really got involved with rallies, things like that. You know, it was the day that the government came to my front door and said, you can't leave your home.
Yeah.
And when that happened, and I started noticing the inconsistencies in the data and things that just didn't add up, I knew that I had to do something. And in December 2020, I started a Patriot group out here in Snohomish County.
Nice.
And that group blew up into a Patriot / political action group. And I got so heavily involved in rallies and all the different things on trying to create change, right? Mm-hmm. And one of those things, to Pete's point that he brought up, is the recall of the governor. I mean, we all wanted to see the governor go, and yeah, we knew he needed to go. And that movement got really big. And I actually went down to where I met Pete at the Secretary of State's office in Olympia. I knew I had to meet the attorney that had written the charges, nice. You know, and there was also, like Pete had dealt with Shakey's and Sterling's, there was a place here in Snohomish County, Doc's Riverside Tap House, where we held our weekly Patriot meetings that was under fire from the Liquor Cannabis Board. And so it was kind of two pronged. I wanted to meet Pete and talk to him about, you know, writing the charges and kind of figure out who he was. I mean, I knew if he had written the charges to recall the governor, he must just stand up for the Constitution. But I also wanted to ask him about what I could do to help this small business being just hammered by Liquor Cannabis Board.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, from there, yeah, like he said, we hit it off. And, you know, Pete had the idea to start a nonprofit. I don't think when we first started talking, he had the name yet, Pete, if I remember right. But then within a few conversations, he said Silent Majority Foundation, because we are the silent majority and we're not going to be silent anymore.
Right.
And
it's awesome.
You know, as we brought, you know, Vincent Cavallari was our third director, and then Rob Waits is our fourth director. We started talking about what this would look like, how we could be successful in fighting for folks' constitutional rights here in Washington. You know, obviously having an attorney who we call him the unicorn.
Yeah.
I mean, he's an attorney. You know, a lot of these attorneys go through law school and they get indoctrinated, kind of like our kids are getting indoctrinated in public school.
So true.
And you know, to find an attorney who had the chutzpah, if you will, to stand up against the government. I mean, I said, you tell me where to be and I'm ready to fight.
Nice.
And all of us, all four of us are just very like-minded in our goal to, you know, Pete is the amazing attorney who's writing all the litigation, but there's so many pieces to what we do, from advocacy to education. Boy, I don't think there's enough time on this radio show to talk about all of it.
There's yeah, definitely something that we don't get today. We'd love to have you guys back on.
Nice.
As I
love to be back.
Yeah,
definitely.
As I listen to your guys' story, you know, through the lockdowns we had over here in Spokane, we had our own. We like to call it our own Green Dragon, because, you know, that's where the revolution started. It was called the Black Diamond, and the same thing, Liquor and Cannabis Board just hammered them for no reason. Then they hammered our little coffee shop, Cole's Coffee, and gave them $120,000 fines, and the total for Spokane County was $180,000. So it was just totally crazy how this Liquor Cannabis Board came at, you know, certain restaurants or certain businesses harder than others. And we're glad that you guys are fighting back. So, Silent Majority Foundation, the history, pretty new organization.
Yeah. So, you know, we started it in August 16th of last year. And I thought that was appropriate because, selfishly, that's my birthday. But, you know, it took us a few, to Eric's point, it took us a few weeks, maybe a couple months, to really sit down, him, me, and Vince, and really figure out what we were going to do. And obviously Vince is now running for Congress up in the first congressional district. So able to assist us where he can, but he's busy. And so we brought in Rob Waite, who is a friend of mine here in Pasco. And we had been lifting weights and complaining, you know, he's got a gym in his garage and just complaining like, all right, what do we do for our kids? What do we do for our kids? And I just distinctly remember there was some time where, you know, of course, as vain as we are, we're lifting weights and looking in the mirrors, and I'm complaining as I'm lifting. I said, you know, I'm looking in the mirror, looking at my form. It's like, that's the guy that has to fight this, right? I can't continually defer to these well-funded organizations to fight the fight for my kids.
Amen.
It's either me, you know, go big or go home, right? Either we do this or we just complain. And I think that's what birthed it, you know, and again, it's last August. So we're coming up on a year here pretty soon.
Right on.
Yeah. And if I can interject, Pete, one of the really interesting moments was we had talked as a group about getting all of our ducks in a row, you know, getting our website up, business cards, all those things, filing for 501c3 status with the federal government, all the things to kind of legitimize us so we'd be ready to roll. And we actually had to kind of nix that plan because Inslee wrote his proclamation, and Pete can probably tell you what the proclamation number was, but wrote his proclamation, the jab for job. And we all got on the phone call pretty quick, and Pete was like, I need to start writing a lawsuit right now. We need to roll out the foundation a couple of months sooner because people's jobs are hanging in the balance.
Well, that's awesome that you guys can be that fluid and that change directions and stick up for the little man. Cause yeah, that jab for jobs, that was insane.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, you know, to Eric's point, by force, we expedited everything. You know, at that time I was still working my other job and, you know, staying up till 2-3 in the morning. There were some cases where I'd get up at 5:45 or 5:30 and have gone to bed at 4:30. But that's what it took, right? You know, no one was doing anything and it was extremely frustrating. So we jumped in the mix. You know, I mean, I feel like you're watching a friend of yours get gang beaten, and what do you do? Stand by the side or do you jump in and help them out?
Yeah.
I guess arguably these aren't our friends. These are just other Washingtonians that we stood for. But yeah, I mean, that's the reality of the birth of what we are.
No, yep. One thing, I thank you guys for that. So the one I'm looking at here, because I can't stand Chris Reichdahl, but the mask mandate against the OSPI, could you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, that case was actually dismissed last week as untimely because Mr. Reichdahl's order was issued it was issued in December. So he had a 120-day statutory limitation on his rule that allowed him to enforce the governor and the Secretary of State, Secretary Shaw's face mask orders. And that was implemented on December 30th of 2021. So it actually expired at the end of April. And so what we did was we sued him seeking injunctive and declaratory relief. We were asking the court to determine whether or not Reichdahl had the authority to actually implement this rule. And we filed it initially in Franklin County. And, you know, after a handful of conversations and back and forth with the court and opposing counsel, it was very clear that the court was going to transfer this to Thurston County. And I think had we stayed in Franklin County, assuming we ever could have gotten a ruling, and I don't believe we could have, that would have been extremely timely because we filed that in February. We would have had our hearing no later than mid-March. And, you know, by then schools were starting to look at, you know, bucking the system. We had Richland School District, Kettle Falls, a couple of other schools. And ultimately we were ready to rock and roll at that time and support these schools. And we did, in fact, give those schools coverage.
Nice.
You know, a lot of them reached out to us and said, hey, we're going to buck the system. You know, we see that you filed your lawsuit. We're willing to stand up against the mask mandate. Ultimately, most of those schools either, you know, rescinded the mandate for their district within a matter of days of bucking the system, or they actually never took the vote. But it was really comforting, at least from my perspective, to know that these schools looked at our lawsuit as the preeminent force for them to do what they felt was right.
Nice.
Again, unfortunately, the case was dismissed as untimely, but I will tell you this, and this is kind of how I've kept it, with our plaintiffs. When we emailed them, said, hey, this got dismissed as untimely, I want all of you to be ready in September. Mm-hmm. We're going to bring this lawsuit again if he brings it again. And we'll bring it literally the day. I will tee it up for motion hearing within 10 days, which is my minimum. So if this gets issued on a Friday, typically these hearings are held. So within two Fridays, we'll have the hearing to force the court to actually opine this time on whether or not a state superintendent can enforce a governor's proclamation.
Gotcha.
And that's to us a critical element, is we don't believe that these individuals have this authority.
No,
they don't. I mean, first, whether or not you want to agree with Inslee's proclamation is a separate question, as to whether or not someone else can enforce it.
Yep.
So,
I'm thinking as you're going through this, and what I could see in 20 years from now, kind of with those court case drama movies that come out and things like these are going to be, in Hollywood, I think, if we still have Hollywood around in 20 years. But yeah, right. What a wuss thing to do for Chris Reichdahl to just run the clock out. That's like when you see, your least favorite sports team just trying to drain the clock down for the win. It's garbage.
Yeah. One of the most telling things that when I was talking with the special assistant attorney general that was assigned to this case, early on when we were in Franklin, he said to me, why don't you just dismiss it rather than refile it and take the win? Mm-hmm. Note that you guys helped when Reichdahl came out with his little public comment, his press release, oh, governor, you should rescind your proclamation. I said, no, dude, that's BS. We don't want Chris Reichdahl to ask the governor to rescind his proclamation. We want Chris Reichdahl to say he's not going to attempt to enforce it.
Yes.
That's what this lawsuit about. It's not about pointing, one arm one way and the other arm the other way and saying that guy's at fault. Mm-hmm. We know who's at fault. It's both of you, and we're suing both of you separately and individually.
Nice.
So, but that's what we're here. We're going to keep fighting these things, and people ask us, awesome. It's got dismissed. What did you do? Well, if opposing counsel, a special assistant attorney general, is crediting us for a victory, maybe we ought to take that. But to me, it's not a win until we get the win, right?
Yep. Yeah, and that kind of rolls into the big announcement came out last week, suing Das Führer Inslee, right, to take back his emergency proclamation. I stopped counting at the days. We're well over 800 days, aren't we?
Correct. Yep.
So, just tell everybody about that. What you got going on in litigation for him?
Yeah, so we teed up another temporary injunction, which means that the court, if it rules in our favor, will put a stop on proclamations 20-25, and then this is now version 19 and 21-04, and that's the fourth, or actually, I think it's 21-14. 0.04, which means it's the fourth version, and these are the ones that require, all of it, the vaccines, all of the BS that we're seeing for the state employees. And ultimately we sued to stop this and also to have the court declare this as invalid, because the governor is required to find a state of emergency. And I'm kind of slowing my cadence here because this is very critical. I want people to hear and understand what we're talking about. Typically, you've seen for the past 2 years, folks challenging under RCW 4306-220, which is the actual emergency powers, right? They're challenging whether or not he has the powers to do this. Mm-hmm. We changed our approach and took a revised code of Washington 43.06.010 requires the governor to first find a state of emergency. And when he made these new proclamations, or these new iterations of these proclamations, he actually utilized terms like COVID cases decreasing, hospitalizations decreasing, the spread of the disease, the increased vaccination. And more importantly, there were several counties where there were zero. And in fact, two or three counties, depending on the date of the proclamation, two or three counties with zero cases, and then several counties up to 15 with less than 10.
Yeah.
At the time he reissued these proclamations. So my question to the courts and to the governor is, how did Mr. Inslee find a state of emergency when there were no diseases, you know, no COVID-19 diseases in certain counties and less than 10 in other counties? Plus you had, I think the hospitalization rate decreased to like 2.6% at one point. Mm-hmm. So all these alleged metrics he used, which he's never declared publicly what his metrics are.
Yep.
How can you tell me that he's found a state of emergency when he doesn't even tell us A, what constitutes a state of emergency, and B, whether or not those metrics are met with zero cases or less than 10 cases?
Well, Pete, and I think it's important to note that he unilaterally said all 39 counties.
Really?
You know, that's mentioned in the lawsuit. That's an important component because he doesn't just say emergency in the state of Washington. He mentions in his proclamation all 39 counties.
Just crazy. Sometimes I, in my mind, I compare Inslee to being just as dumb as President Biden or the pretender Biden. And I think maybe his science and his numbers, somebody just gave him a connect the dots number. And he's like, oh yeah, here we go. Here's our numbers. And then he has no evidence. So once again, thank you for taking.
Yeah, there's been no transparency whatsoever.
Yeah.
None. And follow the science has been his calling card. And you know, I think every Washingtonian who has their head on straight realizes that that's just gaslighting the people of Washington.
Yeah. The people of Washington deserve so much better than a big dummy like him. I mean, he is from, what's he from, Yakima or something? He tries to say he's from over here, but come on now.
Yeah, he lived in Selah at some point. I don't know when, but.
So we got about 5.5 minutes. You guys are a nonprofit, correct? You don't do this for money.
Yeah, we're a 501c3 nonprofit corporation in the state of Washington, and we're a 501c3. I'll tell you, this lawsuit is going to get expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in my role as on the business side of things, we don't have big pharma. We don't have big tech funding us. We don't have any big groups funding us. We have we the people funding us.
Amen.
And people have been amazing, you know, in donating to our cause. But we need people to continue. You know, if you go to our website, www.silentmajorityfoundation.org, there's a link there to donate. And we really need people to step up to the plate. I mean, there's a spot on there, even if it's $10, $50, whatever, to put a recurring donation in every month. And
nice.
Again, a lot of these cases that we've filed, we haven't charged retainers. We haven't charged our clients. We've been doing this because it's the right thing to do, but we need to be funded and continue to be funded so we can fight these things. I mean, there's, Pete can probably speak to this a little more, but I mean, we're not just here to go after COVID mandates. That's been the tip of the spear.
Mm-hmm.
But Pete can probably elaborate a little bit on some of the other things we're potentially looking at doing.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, as I've been asked many times, you know, we've got our general statement. Silent Majority Foundation stands, you know, to protect the constitutional and theological foundation of this country. That's kind of the, you know, pie in the sky, you know, 10,000 foot overview. As I've honed that down, ultimately, we want to protect every individual and business right against government overreach. So whether that's the LCB, the Liquor Cannabis Board, coming in and telling you, oh, you know, Mr. Serrano, you got to put a face mask on your potential clients, or whether it's someone who wants us to help fight, you know, Senate Bill 5078 on the high capacity magazine bans. Those are all things that we're looking at. In fact, we are working with an attorney out of Spokane to potentially bring a lawsuit on SB 5078. So, you know, be looking for that in July when that actually goes into effect, and we can bring a plaintiff who can be harmed by being denied his right to buy a 10 plus round magazine. So, you know, we're here to make sure that our country doesn't fall apart. And I understand that people think that's a, you know, pipe dream, but you know what? That probably was a pipe dream for those Tea Party revolutionaries.
Exactly.
Probably for Thomas Jefferson, right?
Mm-hmm.
These guys were willing to put it all on the line to create the most perfect union. And we're here to try to preserve it.
Right on. So, yeah.
You know, I know we only just have a minute left, Matt, but I gotta, it needs to be said that the amount of traction and the following that we've got has been incredible.
Right on.
But not just from citizens, but we filed a lawsuit on behalf of 6 members of the House of Representatives who mm-hmm. believed in Pete's ability and Silent Majority Foundation's ability enough to represent them. We're not going away. We are here for the long haul. We didn't just do this for a couple of years and to, you know, get our name in lights. We're mm-hmm. we're here to fight government overreach for the long haul.
Right on. I'm so thankful that there is people like you guys out there that are doing this. I got to do another plug for you guys. Your golf tournament, June 12th this year. You can go onto the website, silentmajorityfoundation.org, and you can sign up for that. Where is this going to be held at?
It's an Echo Falls golf course in Snohomish. And if you're not a golfer, we're having a dinner afterwards as well, where Pete, Vince, Rob, and I will all be speaking about the work we're doing. These type of events, they take a lot of time and effort to put together, but they're really worth it because, again, back to the point of raising money to fight the government has to happen. Like we have to raise that money. So even though it's a fun event, it all goes back to getting money in the pot for us to sue the government.
Right on. So Christians out there listening, please go to the website, make a donation, help these gentlemen fight against our tyrannical government. Remember this, Christians. It was Inslee that said you can't have a choir and you can't sing in church. These men are standing up for you. So if you're sitting home listening right now and you want to know what you can do to help fight against this big dummy, please, silentmajorityfoundation.org. Go check them out. Look at what they've got done already and what they've got coming up. Make a donation. Keep these men fighting for you. Pete, Eric, once again, I want to say thank you guys for coming out. And God bless you guys in your fight. And continue the work.
Hey, thanks a lot, Matt. Thanks for having us on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. Appreciate it.
Yep. Until next time, be sober and be vigilant.